If you don't have to put something in your body, why would you?
It's Evie here. Welcome to EML Radio, where we are always talking truth. All of those things you need to hear that nobody else is willing to say.
This episode is brought to you by Kopow. Brighter food, brighter life. At Kopow, we allow you to treat yourself to not cooking. Incredibly colorful, powerful meals delivered directly to you that taste like you're dining out, but at home. At Kopow, we believe that colors taste better. We only use fresh, seasonal, colorful ingredients packed with all the good stuff, so boring beige foods need not apply. It's nutrition that you can actually see. Nature provides incredible ingredients year-round. So if it's not in season, you're not going to find it in our food. So look, diets don't work. Food you want to eat does. Kopow meals are perfectly balanced, craveably good, and help you eat right without you even knowing it. So whether you are looking to take a break from cooking just a few times per week, need business or lunchtime meals, or you're a busy family who needs a combination of meals for parents and kids, Kopow has the perfect weekly meal plan for you. So just visit kopow.com, that's Kopow.com, and input your zip code to find out if Kopow meals are delivered in your area. Kopow, brighter food, brighter life.
Hello, truth seekers. Today's episode of EML Radio is sponsored by Strong Start. Strong Start is a new 90-day program designed to give you the opportunity through a structured program to start living your most fulfilling life. When it comes to eating, moving, and living, there are three critical things to develop in order for you to have lasting success. And those are self-discipline, knowledge, and accountability. So after devoting over a decade of my life to coaching in nutrition and fitness and mindset, I found myself losing accountability and self-discipline. Now I know exactly what it takes to create a fit body and a mind and a spirit to live to my highest potential. But over the last year, I felt myself just slipping, which is why I decided to develop the Strong Start program. Strong Start gives you absolutely everything you need to bring order back to your life, especially in a time of great chaos like we're in right now. It's designed over a 90-day period with three 30-day phases. So phase one is designed for you to really hone in on developing self-discipline. And then phase two allows you to start using that newfound discipline to incorporate more choices into your eating and into your movement. And then phase three, man, that gives you the runway that you need to put all the newfound discipline and knowledge into place so you can sustain this progress for the rest of your life. So Strong Start works by providing you a complete program guide with exercises for absolutely every fitness level so that you know that what you're actually doing is going to produce the greatest results. And it keeps you moving in a way that is safe and that's functional for your lifestyle. It also gives you the mindset exercises to ensure that you're shifting your mind into seeking the most from yourself every single day. Because all of the exercises and all of the nutrition advice in the world won't help unless you work on building that mental toughness first. It also provides you a hard-bound mindset and accountability journal so that you are writing down and tracking your progress every single day for those 90 days. And then lastly, the Strong Start Nutrition Guide uses my Colors Not Calories method in order to teach you how to eat so that you will never have to go on a diet again. Listen, Strong Start is changing my life and it is changing the lives of countless others. And it will undoubtedly change yours too. So head on over to evifats.com and learn more about Strong Start. Just remember, it is never too late to seek out and create a better you, but you just have to start.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of EML Radio. You're not going to believe this, but guess who I have in the house again with me today? The Fats Rat.
You talking to me? I'm eating. Hold on a sec.
He's finishing his breakfast. I got to feed him and give him good coffee to get him down here. So Casey's back in here with me today. And we're not going to share any more marital stories. This time, I just wanted him to be here. Because I'm actually going to talk about something kind of unrelated to us, but I wanted him to be able to be here from a medical standpoint to just give his two cents on some things that I have to say. So this is going to be primarily me, and then he's going to chime in here and there. So we're going to discuss today the need for people to really start standing up for what they think is right. And taking a hard stance and not just turning a blind eye to things because none of us like the shit that's unfolding around us. So what prompted this for me is that I've been a little more active on my Instagram story. And when I do that, obviously I get a lot of engagement. Before that, I really was kind of off Instagram and Facebook almost entirely and just using my Locals account, which I'm still using my Locals account, but I, for one, I'm in a better place where I'm able to manage my social media better and not let it consume me and like draw me away from all the shit that I got to do during the day. But then, more importantly, the stuff that's happening around us and the shit that's been, is being forced down our throats, the censorship, the absolute complete loss of focus and loss of reality of what's going on with COVID. Add to it this fucking ridiculousness of everybody trying to be in one another's medical business. Like, this isn't good. And the separation that I'm seeing as a society, and then you add racial tension to it and everything else, the things that I'm seeing around me, I don't think it's overdramatic to say are like completely terrifying. Most people have absolutely, for one, they don't have any understanding of history. For two, they have very little understanding of just how dark and power seeking and evil humans can be. And history has proven that to be a fact. And if you think that doesn't apply to you because you're just a good person, you're wrong. Right? Because statistically speaking, if you were around during Nazi Germany times, you probably would have been a Nazi. And I kind of got fired up last week because I was posting a bunch of stuff on my Instagram story. And I can't even tell you, like I wake up to 50, 60 direct messages. And while this is great, like if you send me direct messages, just so you know, I read every one of those because I actually respect your time and respect the fact that you look to me for maybe some motivation, inspiration, guidance, education, whatever it is that I do for you. I appreciate that. And so I do take the time to read every single one of these messages. But it also pisses me off a little bit because here's the deal. You all support me and go, yes, Evie, like, thank you so much for speaking up. But do you ever fucking share the post? Do you even comment on it publicly so that other people can see that you're standing strong too? And I got to tell you, if you don't and all you ever do is send me private messages, you're not standing up for shit. Really, last week I was just fired up over this. I was like, you know what, people? I'm kind of tired of it. I let one gal know on my Facebook group, on my Facebook page where she was like, you know, thank you so much. And, you know, this is awesome that you're standing up and, you know, we need more people like you. I'm like, yeah, we need you too. And if you don't think that you have a big enough voice that it matters, that's bullshit. Every single one of us matter. So sending me private messages isn't going to get it done, guys. And then I particularly just get irritated when then here and there, I'll click on someone's, you know, either Instagram account or Facebook account, and they're sending me nonstop private messages about how strong I am and how bold and brave I am.
And then I look at their fucking page and it's like pictures of their dog. And I'm not saying you have to make your whole entire social media account about politics, but this is beyond politics too. So don't trivialize what we've got going on and minimize it just to something political, because it's not. It's fundamental rights. It's fundamental civil liberties. It's our ability to stand up for ourselves and say other people need to get the fuck out of my business. So keep that in mind. When you see shit that I share, you need to share it. Because for one, this is also just a bummer. Like the posts that I've been making lately, they get very little traction. The first one out of the gate when I came back out was like great. And then from there, it gets very little traction because Instagram and Facebook don't like what I'm saying. And so I'm being censored. So you guys all listening to this have a responsibility to do your part. And just liking something on Facebook isn't it. And sharing it on Facebook, oh, that's a good start. But then beyond that, you have to be willing to start implementing things in your own life where you're saying, I'm taking a stand and I'm done being told what to do by the government. I have the right. I am born with the right to freedom. The government works for me. I do not answer to them. Especially in things like we're getting so carried away in now that have absolutely nothing to do with how this whole fucking thing started. This whole thing started with a virus, and at risk of sounding cliche, and you hear this all the time, but like what happened to 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right? I told everybody back then, this is bullshit. Like this is not going to be a 2 week deal or even a 2 month deal. This is going to be years. And as bad as I thought it was going to get, it's fucking worse. It's way worse. And that's where I wanted Casey to be in here too, because I don't mind sharing this, because when this whole thing started, like obviously Casey's in the medical field and that's a big deal. He has to be a little bit careful about what he says. He doesn't really have to be careful about what he says, but he has to make sure that he's very diplomatic and that he's not giving false information to anybody out there and that he's not giving opinions about stuff that he doesn't have a good understanding of, correct?
Correct. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So when this whole thing first started, for when I was anti-mask from the beginning, because I actually understand how masks work. Casey and I actually were a guest on a guy's show about masks, and Casey chimed in then too, that like, I mean, a cloth mask that you fucking buy on, you know, one of these Etsy shops, you think that that's doing something for you? No. And I lost so many friends. That's true. And I wouldn't really say that they were actually friends, because if people in your life can't have respectful dissent, then they're not really friends. If all they do is block you when they don't like the shit you're saying, right? That's not a friend. So, but I've lost, I mean, and I'm talking about people within my own family that I've had to block from my Facebook because it's just incessant fighting. And I'm not going to do that, right? I'm not going to do personal attacks, and I'm not going to allow someone just on their keyboard to bloviate and pretend like they know shit, talk about science and statistics and all these things that people want to do. But anyway, it's been hard. Like I've turned a lot of people off. But the point of this is that from the beginning, and I'm going to say it, I fucking told you so. Right? And even between Casey and I, right, dude?
Like, oh, yeah.
For sure. We had blowouts. I mean, I'm talking blowouts about this, where I was like, I've lost respect for you. You're not standing up. Like, he just didn't have the opinion, as strong of opinions, like, you know, go figure in anything, right? As I do. Go ahead. Your position when this whole thing started.
Well, yeah, it's been so long, it's hard to remember, but I thought it was prudent to be cautious. I mean, we don't know. I still don't think we know.
But prudent to be cautious. That's
right.
What's cautious? Define that for us.
Well, I'm fine with, you know, social distancing, wearing a mask until we figure out what this thing is all about, right? But I think it's pretty clear now that it's not the doom and gloom that many had feared, right? I mean, it's got a, what do the statistics say now? You have a 99%
0.003% chance survival
rate. And the average person who dies is 80.
That's fucking older.
That's older than the life expectancy of an American. I mean, what are we shooting for here? I mean, I'm not saying that it's it's unfortunate that people die, but the vast majority of people dying are unhealthy.
Or old. Right? Right.
And it's a fact of life that people die. People die of something. So I'm not saying don't be cautious. Don't do what's appropriate for you. But we've kind of lost sight of what we're trying to accomplish here.
And I want to interject there for just a second, though, because the one thing about that, when this whole thing started and people were like, well, I just need to do what's right for me. And then we also started getting these people that were saying, I'm going to wear a mask because if that makes other people feel good, I'm going to do that for them. Now, that's how this whole thing started. Now, it's turned into like you're just wanting to fucking murder people if you're not willing to wear a mask. But where it started was, I'm going to be a good person and I'm going to wear my mask because I don't really think it matters, but I know you do, and I'm going to do that for you. And I objected to that vehemently from the get-go, because I'm like, that's like saying to someone you love, like, you're doing something to make yourself feel good, and it's a lie, and I'm just going to do it with you just so that it makes you feel good. Fuck that. I told people, okay, where are your vitamin D levels? How much sunshine do you get? What kind of food do you eat? And people were like, well, that stuff takes a long time. Well, here we are 18 months later and nobody's working on that shit still. They're still just wanting to now police one another about masks. So I never agreed with, I'm going to do something falsely that is not proven. Will you at least give us that? Masks are proven, that they are pointless.
I agree. And on the other hand, do you ever see people who are smoking stop smoking around you? We know smoking causes cancer, but they don't give a shit. They'll smoke around you and I'll breathe the smoke. Where do you draw the line?
Right, where other people have a responsibility. It's like,
not everybody has a responsibility to protect it. I mean, within reason, but we don't have all responsibilities to each other to just completely... I don't know where I'm going with this, but you know what I'm saying.
Trying to say, and I'll clean it up for you. So you're saying that we aren't outright, obviously, doing things that would harm someone else.
Right.
Right. Right. But me not wearing a mask isn't harming anyone.
No.
Right. And me not getting vaccinated is not harming anyone, period. And
regardless of what they say.
Regardless of what they say. Right. And so all the focus has been, if people can really kind of open their eyes to how this unfolded, right? We went from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to now everybody is absolutely mandated to wear a mask in public. And we've been, just so people know, because people listen to the show from all over, but we're in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and we just haven't experienced a lot of the craziness that's out there. Right? But that doesn't mean that we're immune to it. And especially now that we're getting into where big companies are starting to talk about mandating vaccines for people, like, this is a big deal. This is a big deal for us, and one we're very opinionated on for a reason.
Yeah, no. For instance, this morning we walked to two different coffee shops downtown and walked maybe 4 or 5 blocks between the two, and we've seen two masks.
Two, yeah.
And it's summertime here, so there's a ton of people here.
Yeah. So for people that are like, well, yeah, but you're not in a big city, so you just don't get it. It's like, well, no, we're in big cities all the time. We just got back from St. Louis. You have to wear one there. Although we didn't. Like, we avoided restaurants that required it because we think we're done. We're done complying. And like you said at the beginning, just so people realize, we're not diminishing COVID whatsoever. We don't know enough about it. When we first heard about it and we're flying home, remember, from Florida, mm-hmm. we were like, fuck, it's a little bit scary because, like you said, if this really was something serious.
Right. It would be a huge deal. I mean, God forbid something really serious happens. We're going to be screwed.
We are completely, right? If this is how we act with something, and I'm going to hammer it home again, that you have a 99.003% chance of survival, if we're this divided and this willing to give up all of our civil liberties over this and hating our neighbors over it, what the fuck are we going to do when something truly catastrophic hits?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of a rant, but it's really important because the deal is I don't want people. I'm just telling you, like, you're either going to fucking be part of this solution or you're going to keep on complying with all this nonsense that you don't believe in and sending me secret messages about it. And you don't realize that a year, two, maybe five. I don't know how long it's going to take, but your civil liberties and freedoms are being trampled on. Your privacy is being invaded. Your thoughts and opinions are being censored. And that's going to fucking end really, really bad. Really bad. I'm not going to give everybody a history lesson. I will tell you some books that you should read. Everybody is so familiar with Nazi Germany, and I'm not even like going to talk about that today, but like people actually have very little understanding of what was happening like in 1930s Russia, right? When communism came into play and all of these revolutionaries thought, well, this has got to be better than the bourgeoisie that are just like trampling on all of us. And the wealth is centered in this small amount of people. So they overthrow the government, bring in communism, and fucking 60 million people starved to death in an area that was the most fertile land. People don't fucking understand where this goes. Human beings are dark, and human beings, when given power, they will seek more of it out, which is exactly what is happening. And it happens so sneakily, right? It happens. Is sneakily a word?
No, but it sounds good.
We're going to pretend like it is. Do you know it's not?
I don't think it is.
I bet it is. We're going to look it up after this show. But anyway, it doesn't happen overnight, guys. But we went from 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We went to, you absolutely have to wear a mask. And just so you realize, we were flying and traveling and stuff the whole time.
First we went to, you don't have to wear a mask. You shouldn't wear a mask.
Oh, yes.
And then we went to, you absolutely have to wear a mask.
And then it's scary if you see other people walking around with masks on.
You have to wear two or three masks.
Yep.
And then you don't have to wear a mask again.
Yep. And I'll tell you, like, we were flying from the beginning of all of this. We never stopped traveling. We've got fucking business in Las Vegas that we're trying to open. Like, we didn't put our life on hold in any way, shape, or form. Like, seriously, we did nothing different.
No, I think we've flown more this year than we ever have in our life. It's been so easy. Nobody's around.
Yep. And when I want to tell this story, because this is central to the message I'm trying to get across today. That people got to start standing up for what's right, and you will be absolutely proud of yourself and amazed at how good you feel when you do stand up for what's right. So remember that first flight we were on, and just like from a personality standpoint, I have like, I think I am like, I've done the personality test, and I think I have, I'm like 27% agreeable. So,
which is not very much.
No, the average, just so you know, the average females are typically more agreeable than males. I am 27% agreeable. So in a room out of 100 people, I'm going to be less agreeable than 73 other people. So by nature, I'm less agreeable, which means I have more questioning of authority. I have less respect for authority. It has to be completely earned, which is the good side of that. Obviously, there's some negatives to being not agreeable. Casey, on the other hand, is much more agreeable than I am. And there's nothing wrong with that. Scarlett's more agreeable. Most people that like me are more agreeable because they kind of get some power and confidence to be less agreeable when they're around me. Fair?
Fair enough.
Yeah. So anyway, we got on the plane. Do you remember this? And it was like one of the first times that we, she's going to have to wait. Just turn your phone off. Casey answers text messages while we're actually in the studio, which cracks me up, which is, again, he's agreeable. I'm fucking not agreeable. Don't bug me when I'm in my recording. I'm busy. So anyway, he's sitting here smiling and shaking his head. You guys can't see him. but anyway, we got on the plane and we had to separate. Because you had to leave the middle seat open, right? Like that was the first logic, which made no fucking sense. We're a family, but we had to leave the middle seat open. So Casey sat behind us. Me and Scarlett I sat in the window. She sat in the aisle. And as soon as we sat down, we took our masks off. Because this was before it was a federal mandate. Now, I mean, I'm not willing to go to jail right now over this. So it's like, but at this time it was optional. Kind of. And it was recommended. Casey, you wore your mask. I took mine off. Scarlett looked at me. She took her mask off. People were staring at her. And it was making you uncomfortable, right?
Yeah. as I recall. I was in the back seat. I couldn't tell.
But it was making you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because she came and sat with me. Oh, that's right. We need to back up. She was sitting with you, actually, because you guys were like going to play a game. And people were staring at her. And I was like, and you wanted her to put her mask on because people were staring at her.
Yes, I honestly. But if you say so, yes.
Yeah, so it was upsetting.
I'm agreeable.
Yeah, it was upsetting to her. So I said, well, then come up here and sit with me where someone's going to actually stand up for you. So you can see like why this causes conflict within our relationship too, right? Like that's a really big thing that we have to navigate a lot. But anyway, I was like, come up here because that's bullshit. And then this is great. This like old white crotchety old grumpy family, this husband and wife were staring Scarlett down, you know, and she's Asian. And with this, we're all like, everybody, this all came from fucking China and she's Chinese. And I was like, sis, and they were staring her down because she didn't have her mask on. I said, you just need to turn around and tell them, hey, I just flew in from Wuhan. she's like, Mom, it feels, this is why I'm sharing this story. She said, Mom, it feels so good. And she literally got tears in her eyes. She was like, it feels so good to like stand up for what I believe in.
Yeah.
So it's not about being an asshole and it's not about being combative. For me, it's about teaching my daughter that you don't have to sit down for shit that you don't agree with. You can be respectful about it, right? But you don't. You have the right. You were born with a freedom. And just so you know, our daughter actually wasn't born with freedom. Our daughter was born in the middle of fucking communist China. At some point, oh, I'm gonna get her letter out. I have a letter that was signed by George Bush when Scarlett became a U.S. citizen. And I'm going to read it because I'm starting a new show, Free Speech Fridays, which is going to start in September, every Friday, a live stream. So it won't be recorded, it'll be live. But anyway, I'm going to share that letter because I think more people need to read it and realize like how you cannot take these freedoms for granted. Think about when we were in China walking around, like it's fucking unnerving. If you've never been there, like you don't feel free. You don't feel safe. You don't feel safe because you've got all these people with fucking machine guns walking around the streets. You feel unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for someone that wasn't born into freedom, I'm going to fight with everything I fucking have to make sure she has freedom for the rest of her life. It was like by the grace of God that she lives in a country where she now has freedom and everybody is just so willing to give it up. And it isn't like, oh, it's just a mask. Then it's like, oh, well, it's just a vaccine. Well, let's talk about that because that's something. This is the reason I wanted Casey to come in today was because like there's some things and we've had good discussion about it lately. And I just want to have kind of like let people listen in on our discussions of if people stop and think about forcing someone to take a vaccination that has not gone through typical testing and for them to be for you to buy into the story like, well, it's just accelerated now because technology gets better. Fuck that. Viruses aren't technological. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, For me, let me start this by saying I'm not anti-vaccine or an anti-vaxxer. I have every vaccine I've ever supposed to have, right? I get the flu vaccine.
You have to at the hospital right now. You have to have the vaccine. He does. I don't take the flu shot, but...
So I'm not an anti-vaxxer, and I'm not saying you should not get the vaccine. What I'm saying for me, I think it should be a personal choice, and I think correct. It should be left there. It's very disturbing the way... politicians these days are actually saying that the reason we have a pandemic is because of the unvaccinated. That is so divisive and so wrong, and it's just incorrect.
It's factually incorrect.
And for me, I think there are people who should get the vaccine. There's a lot of unhealthy people out there. Like, there's a ton of people who are unhealthy. There's a lot of people who are very healthy who don't need the vaccine. For example, I would consider myself healthy.
Oh, no shit. We talked about this the other night.
You know, I've been doing the right thing for 15, 20 years. We eat organic food. I, you know, obviously don't do things like smoking. We supplement
You zinc, don't drink to excess, D. Right? You don't drink to excess. People don't understand. We don't fucking touch fast food. When's the last time you've been through a Taco Bell?
Yeah, I mean, I
12 years?
I can count on two fingers the last time I've had fast food in 15 years.
20, maybe? We've been here for 17.
Yeah.
Right? No.
Yeah.
We don't drink soda?
Never.
We don't eat cereal? I mean, are you kidding me? We don't eat ice cream? And we're not deprived. I promise you, we're fucking great and vibrant and living well.
Right. So living a healthy lifestyle and maintaining your natural immune system to its utmost ability is, in my opinion, probably far more beneficial in this case. I'm not saying in every case, but in the case of this disease that carries a 99% survival rate, is probably more effective than the vaccine.
Well, not probably. It is.
And I'm going to tell you, I have, well, it's been maybe 2 months since I got my serum antibody test. I have not had.
And I have.
So. I have not had COVID. I have traveled literally more this year than I ever have. So I've been in airports all over. I work with COVID patients, if not on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. And we go out to eat frequently. So I'm not saying you shouldn't get the vaccine. I'm just saying that it shouldn't be forced on those of us who think that maybe we don't need it. I don't put any drugs in my body. I don't take any medications.
You don't take Tylenol. We don't take aspirin. We don't take a fucking cough syrup.
So why would I be forced to put something in my body that it's probably safe? I don't know.
Oh, God.
We don't know. We don't know.
And please don't even say probably, because that's, I think you're kind of being careful. But here's the deal. Let's just back up and tell people exactly how science works.
Well, I'm going there. So I don't watch a ton of TV either. But whenever you turn on the TV, you see, at least on the channels I'm on, all you see is, besides fast food advertisements, you see advertisements of people, attorneys, suing over drugs that have caused complications. And now keep in mind, all of these drugs have gone through regular FDA approvals that lasted 5, 10, 15 years, right? And they're still 10, 15 years down the road, something's wrong with them. Something comes up. It causes some unintended consequence. And I've been in medicine long enough to know that if you don't have to put something in your body, why would you? Because there's always a small chance that something, that we didn't know everything. We don't know everything.
No.
And we don't know a lot of things.
And so that's my big beef with this, is all of these people who really don't have much understanding. And it's even frustrating for me. Last night we were watching Greg Gutfeld's show, right? And even on there, like, the whole panel's like, yes, I think you should get vaccinated. Like, if you want to, like if you can and you want to, I think you really should get vaccinated. For one, we got a big problem when you've got commentators and people on the news, celebrity figures that are telling you whether or not you should get a vaccine. Are you kidding me? Like, are you going to take financial advice from a fucking homeless person? That's about as much as they know about medicine. So that's a big problem. And then you've got everybody out there just saying it's safe. That is factually incorrect. They do not know. The scientific process works in that you make the assumption that something is not safe, especially when it's something that you're putting into your body. It's not safe until absolutely proven otherwise.
And even when we prove it absolutely otherwise, 10 years down the road, we find a reason that it wasn't.
Correct. And so the fact that this is the one thing that I want people to think about. And again, we're not saying you shouldn't take the vaccine. We're not saying you should. We want you to actually think critically and remove your political motivation, your political affiliation, who you look up to in the news media. You need to quiet that and really get inside and think about some things for yourself. One thing you need to be asking yourself is, why are we not openly able to have discussion about side effects, what the possible drawbacks of this are? Like, unless people go to the CDC and actually look up the numbers of deaths from the vaccine, no one even knows. And believe me, if I even try to post something that's negative about the vaccine on social media, it gets taken down. I have gotten messages from nurses that are saying they're actually being shamed and criticized and potentially losing their jobs because they are not supportive of it. You simply answered a question from a patient at one point during this whole entire thing that he was like, you know, what do you think about all this? And you're like, well, I don't really think it's kind of what everybody is hyping it out to be. And someone fucking reported you as not being part of the solution. Think about that, you guys. That is like, that is your First Amendment. We all have the right to discuss opinions. And the worst thing about this is if we shut down discussion, we don't solve problems. We solve problems by we have a thought, you have a thought, we openly discuss it, we each share our expertise, our personal experiences, and then we collectively come to a solution. When all you're hearing is vaccine manufacturers, government officials, and government-sponsored doctors saying, yes, this is for sure 100% safe, and you can't even question whether it is safe, or we're going to shut you down, we're going to fucking undo your Instagram account because you question us. If I have ever seen authoritarian government overreach, this is it.
Yeah, it's kind of way beyond virus, masks, vaccines. It's a fundamental rights thing now. It's just way bigger than that. And the further this goes on, it just, in a way, it just reinforces your skepticism of the whole system because of the way people are behaving. It doesn't make any logical sense.
Yeah, let's fast forward because like I mentioned how this was really like you were much more supportive about like you're like it's okay to be locked down for a while. Like we do need to be really cautious. You know, obviously seeing a ton of people in the hospital with COVID, you've seen, you know, different complications like in people's lungs and other things from.
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's not the flu. It's a real thing.
Yeah. It's not the flu. Now we know the test can't determine the difference between the flu and it, but here nor there, agreeable. Like, it's not just the flu. So all those people, too, on the far right, they're like, oh, it's just another fucking flu. It's like, well, you don't really know that.
No, it's
but we do know that serious, it has a 99.003% survival rate.
Right. And if we did things to boost our immune system and have a healthy immune system, we'd do even better.
Yeah, so I want to touch on that during our conversation the other night at dinner where we were talking about, like, are you going to start forcing people? So if you're going to force someone to have a vaccine that's untested, right? It became out from the New York City now putting a mandate that people can't go into restaurants. They can't go to the gym. They can't go to performances. They can't participate in society unless they take this vaccine. That is so fucked up. So, and you, what was your comment?
Well, I mean, where do you go from there? Do you ban overweight people from going to a restaurant because they're, you know, if you're obese, your immune system certainly is not as good as someone who is healthy.
No, and, go on to that. I want you to expand on that because people don't think about this. When someone is unhealthy, they are more likely to spread disease and viruses than someone that's healthy. And I don't say that to separate people. Like this should not be like, oh, you're fat and unhealthy. I don't want you near me. I do not support the shaming that's happening from any regard. But elaborate on that. Talk about someone at the risk of carrying an infection or a disease when they're healthy versus those people that aren't.
Right. It's just common sense. If you are overweight, unhealthy, smoke, drink, abuse your body, don't work out, are sedentary, your immune system is not what it could be. So are we going to shame those people? Are we going to ostracize those people from society because they have a weaker immune system and are probably more likely to transmit a disease than those of us who are healthy, have a healthy immune system and do the things that we've done for the last 15, 20 years to make it that way? Or where do we go with this? You know, it's a slippery slope. Yep. It's like we live in America because we have a choice. Lots of people choose to do things that are unhealthy.
And we're not shaming them.
And I don't care.
Right? No one's talking about the 360 some odd thousand people that die of heart disease every year. Right?
Or smoke and get cancer.
Right. Do you shame those people?
Largely don't have, and many don't have insurance. So the rest of us pay for it. You know, where do we go with all this stuff? Right. It's a big can of worms.
Yeah. And the, like we're talking about the shaming, people need to realize, like, when you start group labeling and identifying someone else as like your enemy, especially someone within your own country. And if you don't think this is happening, like, turn on some more liberal news sources when they're saying, you know, like, the biggest problem are those people that are, and they're referring to as like, as if they're ignorant, that those people that are refusing the vaccine, the anti-vaxxers, as if we're anti-vaxxers. We're fucking all vaccinated. I don't get the flu shot. Like, our daughter has so many vaccines because she came from China. She had to, but we won't go there. Like, the shaming that's taking place, you have to understand, guys, that like pitting and labeling someone as bad and as your enemy and as disease ridden. Why do you think Jews were rounded up in fucking rail cars and gassed? Why do you think that happened? Because it started with Jews are bad in little small ways. You do not want to live in a country that accepts shaming and ostracizing certain groups of people because they don't agree with you. That is so fucking dangerous. And maybe it won't happen in your lifetime, but what about your kids? What about your grandkids? What about your great grandkids? Do you want them to really suffer an atrocity from a society that gets used to and comfortable with dehumanizing a certain sect of the population? Like you said, we don't ostracize or shame or want to stay away from fat people that don't take care of themselves. And I'm sorry, people are just fucking fat and unhealthy. We don't feel like we don't want to be around you, because the reality is you're 10 times more likely, probably 100 times more likely to transmit COVID than I am.
Yeah, I mean, but
we don't shame you.
You can't tell me I'm the problem because I'm unvaccinated when I've just had an antibody test and I've never had it. How can I be the problem if I've never had it and never spread it? It makes no sense.
And
it's like, I'm not part of the problem. And labeling people and saying they are part of the problem is just extremely divisive and stupid.
Yeah. And we'll kind of leave that one there. But to even say like part of the problem, right? Let's all get back to the actual facts. How big is this problem? 99.0003% chance of survival. This problem has been inflated. It was understandable a year and a half ago. It is not acceptable now. And this is the last, we're going to kind of take it full circle and wrap up here. But to bring it back to all of you guys that have been reaching out to me, a big part of the messages that I'm getting are people that are going to be, they know it's probably coming, that they're going to be mandated from their employer to be vaccinated. And, or where they live, everything is completely hopeless. Okay, well, so for one, you're giving your message to the wrong person, because I'm going to call complete and utter bullshit on you. You always have a choice. Now, what people, and I'm not saying it's going to be an easy choice. So that's the deal. You do always have a choice, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, and it doesn't mean that you have endless options available to you right now. But my question is, what are you doing to position yourself to where you do have more options? And I'll just tell you, there was a couple messages that I got that said, like, some of us don't have the freedom to just change jobs. And the implication, and I get it, like, the implication there is like, well, you have a fair amount of money. I can tell because I see your house on Instagram stories and I know what your husband does for a living and yada, yada. Okay. Which is true, right? Our financial position gives us freedom. Agree?
I agree. Yeah.
Yes. But that didn't just happen. It was through careful planning, decision-making, and strategic projecting on what we want to do. Now, we're still doing that, people, just so you realize, like, we're still positioning ourselves, right? We're in the process of selling our home.
Right. I mean, I love
why are we selling our house?
I love where I live, but it's the thing to do.
It's the thing to do because there's too much uncertainty in the world right now. There's too much uncertainty with this vaccine mandates. There's a lot of uncertainty out there. So what we're doing right now is positioning ourselves where we have options. And I'm not going to share every ounce of that because it's personal. But how this relates to all of you is, my question is, if you feel completely stuck in your job right now, that if you're like, I am going to have to take this vaccine because I don't have any other options, I'm sorry you do. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's easier than selling yourself out on something that you know is not right and in your soul you disagree with. So if you're not being mandated right now and you know it's coming, I would ask you to look at your daily decisions, because the finances are real. And I'm not going to try to get involved in your finances, but what I'm going to tell you is you have options. You may have to have huge sacrifices in what you have to give up for a while if you're going to have to change jobs. That's fucking scary, right? Like the thought of it, like having to change careers, that's horrifying, right? It makes my heart just race right now as we're even talking about it. But for you that are saying that you don't have any options, you do. You need to sit down and you actually need to talk as a family and say, like, what do we want? What do we think is right? And what can we all do and sacrifice so that we have more options if something comes down the pipeline at us that we don't agree with? So if you're going to be forced into it from your employer, you have two choices. You can completely sell out on what you truly believe and show your kids that you're willing to just roll over, or you're going to have to make a change as hard as it is, and everybody collectively makes the sacrifice. And in the meantime, be making choices on the daily basis. Maybe you don't need to go to Target and spend $150. Maybe you don't need to eat out. Where can you give up things so that financially you have a little bit more security in order for you to have more options down the road?
Completely agree. I'm nodding.
Right. So our plan right now, we're 48 and 51. We already have the plan of, like, when Scarlett graduates in 4 years, like, this is what we're going to do. And this is the financial position we need to be in, right? You constantly have to be positioning yourself and be willing to give up things in the immediate in order for you to have what's fulfilling and meaningful down the road. So giving up what is expedient for what is meaningful. It's one of the 12 rules in the 12 rules for life of Jordan Peterson's. And it's like, it's life-changing when you have that concept in your head. You have anything else to add on that?
No, it's been said.
Yeah. It's work, guys. So it's work and it's hard decisions either way, but you got to really start doing some soul searching and critical thinking for yourself and figure out, like, what do you want for your life? What do you want for the lives of your children and grandchildren? What do you want to see in this country? Division, hatred, forcing other people to do things with their own body. Like, it's complete insanity, and you got to start speaking up. So I highlighted this passage, and this is the truth that I'm going to leave with everybody with today. And this is so powerful. Okay. The passage from Beyond Order, it's Jordan Peterson's second book, The 12 More Rules for Life, which I highly, highly recommend. It's on page 154 for those of you that are reading it. And there is no doubt that the road to hell, personally and socially, is paved not so much with good intentions as with the adoption of attitudes and undertaking of actions that inescapably disturb your conscience. Do not do what you hate. You will not be able to live in peace and satisfaction and comfort and pride and confidence within yourself if you allow yourself to do things that disturb your conscience. Thanks for being here today. Will you come back again?
Maybe.
Maybe he will. All right. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Please. Now, what you need to do is don't just tell me you liked this podcast in a private message. I want you, each of you that listen, which is probably about 5,000 downloads that we'll get on this. Each 5,000 of you, share it with one or two people. Voila, overnight, now 10, 15,000 people hear the show and like what I have to say. And then they do the same. This is how all of this works. So do your part. Share the show. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.